You're listening to Your Mental Wellness Podcast for your voice and sanity with your host, Dr. Sybil Georgiana.
Welcome back. And I get to have our expert on executive loneliness, Nick Johnson, here again with me, sharing about these important features and what we can put into place that we can really attend to loneliness that we may experience, especially when in leadership position or as an entrepreneur, and how to turn that into more of a solace, like a place of solitude and refreshment. So you made a very interesting point of having the courage to use your voice, and that is especially a challenge in the digital world we're in. So what is a way that we can really encourage ourselves to use our voice?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that we need to be proactive about this. And I talk a lot about creating safe spaces, both in our personal life and in our professional life. And what I mean with this is that we shouldn't have to wait for a conflict or a crisis or something major to start speaking up. We should nurture our relationships in the good times to build strong, authentic relationships with the people around us. So that and that should include our colleagues and so on, so they know who we are as human beings. That doesn't mean we have to disclose everything to them, but we should start to become more human and practice what I say, our vulnerability muscle. And if we have these safe spaces built up in the good times, when difficult times come, we will naturally have a place where we will be open. And let me just give you one idea here. I'm also running a men's support group because men find it quite challenging to speak up in their workplace and so on. And I created this safe space where we have a one-hour meeting every week where these men in this group can log on and share what's on their mind. And by doing that, they practice to speak up, being honest, and voice themselves about the challenges they are facing, and getting them the confidence to also have these conversations with the relevant people. And it's about preparing us then to have those difficult conversations in the workplace. So if you have these safe spaces outside your work, then it's easier to have the difficult conversations in the workplace.
That's a great insight and takeaway, and we will definitely have in the show notes how they can find your groups and join, or even look for a peer network in the location that we're all at. Do you also have a group for female leaders or women looking for support?
Yeah, we do. We have women leaders groups also in Singapore, Kuala Lumpur, and in Jakarta, which is the cities that we're running these. And as you said, there's so many in every community, either of peer groups, support groups, men's groups, women networks. There's so many, and it's really, really taking off, which I'm happy to see, because we need to have these conversations. And it's good also then to meet others to get insights. How is it dealt with in other organizations? What's their perspective? And again, back to getting some sympathy, which we need as human beings as well, especially if we're going through a difficult time. We want to know that it's not only us. We don't want to feel that we are the victim. We want to feel empowered and listened to.
Yes, and even from my personal experience in the 12-step movement, the fact if there, you know, you get somebody who listens to you and spends the time to, and even with sponsorship and probably other, you know, as you said, peer-to-peer mentor coaching, it is such a transformational tool. Just the mere presence of another person taking the time to listen, that it really can turn on the volume on the voice in ways that it's unexpected. You know, how is this when you share something that it helps you have your voice and use it in different opportunities, and yet it's the way to do it that way. When you know, you advocate for combating the sense of loneliness, what's the best medicine that we can take to attend to that sense?
Yeah, so according to me, it's about speaking up then to voice our pain and concern and we as humans love to feel sympathy from other people. And this is something I learned from the world of recovery. You have so many beautiful 12-step recovery programs for everything these days. And it doesn't matter if someone pick up a social media addiction, shopping addiction, alcohol addiction, whatever it is. There's a whole world of people who get support there. And the first thing there is, you know, when you come in there for that addiction, you feel like a loser. You feel like you're the only one in the world who suffer from this. And then as soon as you walk into a room, you realize, oh dear, there's 20 other people just like me who've gone through this same. And then you start to calm down just by feeling that you're not the only one. Yeah, so let's put it this way. The 12-step program I joined then, and it was to deal with my alcohol addiction at the time. And because through my divorce and the stress around that and the loss of job and everything, I basically found myself in an identity crisis. I lost all my good habits, including eating well, exercising. I used to run marathons and competing in triathlons and so on leading up to that. I changed the healthy food to fast food and pizza. And I changed my exercise routine to a bar stool, and I didn't realize it at the time, but it was a slippery slope, and it was really like a downward spiral. And before I knew it, I had replaced my healthy addictions with bad addictions, and I had to take action for that. And it was only by completely surrendering to this and seeking help in that 12-step program that I managed to start repatching my life. And as I gone through those 12 steps, I wanted to continue to learn and grow, and I wanted to remain on that path of recovery and constantly look at how can I improve myself. And that from there on, I continue to work with coaches, mentors, and until then, I had not really worked with psychologists. I started to work with different kind of psychology specialists in different area. I had a son also with my ex-wife, who's today 14 years. He was 5 years of age then during the divorce. And I wanted to repair everything as I could. So I worked with child psychologists to help having conversations with him and just making sure that he was okay. There was no signs that he had been damaged by this divorce because my ex-wife took great care of him, which I'm grateful for. But it was also to be repairing that relationship with my ex-wife and making proper amends. And I needed help to do this. I needed professional support to do this. And in that sense, I'm still on that journey now. I'm 6 years into this wonderful journey, and I keep reaching out. I did like you, Sibylla, done my ICF certification, and I'm now doing a master's coach certification, one higher level. And I'm actually, like you, also inspired of counseling and so on. I'm looking in, perhaps I should do a master's degree in counseling. So I'm just fascinated by this world that has opened up thanks to this.
Wow, that is so powerful. And that's what I love about the steps. I feel it's more like a circle of life, where it is towards kind of giving back what you learn, and really you're gaining so much more. And I think even the openness of you to consider coaching others, to consider mentoring others, to consider coaching a coach. You know, I mean, that's really, I feel, such a beautiful legacy to pursue, and it's so rewarding to be in this field. And what I also appreciate is, you know, I mean, it takes a lot of effort, and there's like a humility too to go through those 12 steps and apply yourself and make amends, a living amends to those that were impacted. So kudos to you for doing this work that, on the other hand, is just giving so much life and meaning, I think, in this very stressed world that we're in. So let's see, if you think about other, so offering coaching or having peer support, is there any other, apart from this very, that's already like a huge systematic support, is there any other thing that you feel can be helpful to the people you work with to alleviate their stressors and helping them with their voice, using their voice?
Yes, and I think we have touched on it before. We mentioned the word of community. And I think as human beings, it's so important to belong to a community. We all used to belong to something. If it was the local church or the local bowling club, we all had memberships and so on. And much of that world had fallen apart. It was disrupted by the pandemic, and it was already on the decline before, but then disrupted by the pandemic with isolation. But we need, I think, as human beings to be responsible of taking this up again. And I would encourage every listener to think about what are they passionate about. And it doesn't matter if it's chess, bridge, bowling, cycling, running, swimming, whatever it may be. I would encourage everyone to look up a few organizations and try to reach out and see if they can become members and start by adding value, being of service to your community, and just being a part of something. Because when we are part of something bigger, which is part of the community, we feel better about ourselves. And I am a firm believer that we must spend a few hours a day, ideally in the outdoor, doing something. And it can be walking, hiking, moving around, moving our body. And that's what I do. And after our call today, I have a two and a half hour cycle ride with a group. And that is very important because I will spend the rest of my day in virtual meetings, basically, and working. So we have to be quite disciplined and firm on ourselves to make sure we get a few hours of, yeah, it can moving around, exercise, or in a community setting.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. And if we are not too plagued by cold weather, which is not an excuse, you know, I think certain regions, and Germany being one of them, it was much harder to find ways to move around in the cold rain than, you know, we are now blessed here on the West Coast in the US too. Have always a way to be outside. So how can people be in touch with you? I know I will post your contact, but how can people reach you best and learn about your work?
Yeah, so I have a website, and it's nickjohnson.com. It's nickjohnsson.com. And most of my materials are there. Also links to my book, but the book can also be found on Amazon. It's called Executive Loneliness. And for those who have a busy life, it's also available as audiobook now on Audible.
That's wonderful. Yes, it is definitely something to listen into. And another fun fact about my studies in Germany at the time, that was one of the areas I did research in, with clinical, you know, implications for the experience of loneliness. So yeah, it's feeling at many places, you know, our time together has come, have come to a beautiful circle here. So thank you so much for your time and for your service to others and to the greater community, and for being here and sharing with our listeners. I really appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this week on Your Mental Wellness Podcast for Your Voice and Sanity. Make sure to check out our show notes. Visit our website, www.toolsforvitality.com, where you can subscribe to the show. We would appreciate it if you would tell a friend about the podcast.